Beloved, you are listening to Grace Life Komi Podcast, a platform commissioned by God to raise men into completeness in Christ Jesus. We believe that you will be blessed beyond measure as you give yourself wholly to this divinely inspired teaching. Through God's servant Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna, grace to you, Jesus is Lord.
Abba Father, we bless and appreciate you. We give you praise and glory. We give you honor and thanksgiving. We say, blessed be your name forever. Oh, Jesus, we extol you. Sweet Holy Spirit, we magnify you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your eternal mercies, Lord. We glorify you. We say, be lifted up forever in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for another time to share fellowship in your presence. Sweet Holy Spirit of living God, you are the teacher of the world. You are the revealer of the deep things in the Father. We ask that you teach us. We ask that you reveal God's word to us. Reveal Jesus to us. Thank you, Lord and King. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Amen and amen. We bless the Lord for another opportunity to share fellowship in his presence. To Jesus alone be all the praise and glory forever. Amen. Yeah, this is our Miracles of Jesus Bible study, and it's been awesome. We began this on the 23rd of March 2023, and to the glory of God, we have been able to look at three of the miracles between this time, between 23rd of March and today. Amen to Jesus. We actually left up on the third miracle last week, Thursday. By the grace of God, we've been able to learn a little. And the remaining that has to be learned, we can all continue learning as we study the word of God. Amen to Jesus. You know, like we always say, what we do here is to ignite the fire of knowledge and the fire of study in us. And we are to carry on that fire and keep growing in the revelation of God's word. Praise God forevermore. It's getting to 1 year of this study, and we've been able to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, do three of the miracles. And today we are starting off on the fourth miracle. To Jesus alone be all the praise and glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Once again, we want to appreciate all our listeners all over the nations of the earth. The good Lord bless you. Thank you for investing your time, for investing your money into growing in the revelation of God's word. And for every of our listeners who have been standing as media evangelists, clicking the like button, sharing this teaching on the different media platforms. The good Lord bless you richly in the name of Jesus. We want to encourage you to please keep doing what you're doing. And we know that as we keep sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus, more souls will be saved in the name of Jesus. More souls will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right, but today we are starting off on the fourth miracle of Jesus. The fourth miracle of Jesus. And the fourth miracle of Jesus as recorded by John. Basically, we have been using the epistle of John, praise God forevermore, to look at the miracles based on the way he presented his account, amen, to Jesus. And so we have been using the gospel of John to do his to record the miracles, to teach the miracles. And according to the Gospel of John, the fourth miracle happens to be the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. This is a miracle that every one of us is conversant with. Amen to Jesus. Every born again child of God is conversant with this miracle, and this miracle resonates. You know, we have all been learning this miracle, understanding this miracle by the years, and seeing the miraculous power of Jesus. Amen to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men with five loaves and two fishes is the fourth miracle recorded by the Gospel of John. And we see this in John chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. Basically, it said 5,000 men, amen, to Jesus. That means the record recorded men, amen, but there were women and children in the meeting. Amen. And we know that in every meeting, basically, church meeting and Christian and religious gatherings, we see that the women and the men are always more, because The women and the children, sorry, are always more. Because at least a man who is married comes with his wife and his two kids. That the wife and the two kids have already exceeded his number. Praise God forevermore. So even if it's not all married men that came, praise God, women and children would always exceed the number. Praise the Lord forevermore. So 5,000 men was the record given for the number of men. The women and children were not included. So that makes us understand that actually it was more than 5,000 people that were fed. Why do I say so? Do not forget that the five loaves and the two fishes that were used belonged to a what? A boy. So that means there was a child, at least one child, in that meeting. Definitely there were more than one, you know, children in that meeting. Praise God forevermore. More than one child in that meeting. So that makes us understand that there were children in that meeting. There were women in the meeting. So it was more than 5,000 people that were fed by Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, one amazing and intriguing thing about this miracle is that it is the only miracle done by Jesus that was recorded by all the four Gospels. When I saw this, I was like, wow, wow, wow. You know, if you go through the different Gospels, you discover that there are some miracles that were recorded there that were not recorded there. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this miracle, all of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they captured it because it really wowed them. It was like, man, this is not something we can forget. You know, the records were based on maybe when you were not present or when you were present, are we together? Or the one you can remember and the one you cannot remember. But this one, all of them, they remembered it. They couldn't forget it. That said, that this miracle left a serious impression on their hearts. A very lasting impression on their hearts. Because something that everybody... And they said, Bible scholars makes us understand that one of the things to prove the miracles of Jesus, to attest that they were real, was that if you look at the writings of every of these authors, their presentations were kind of different. We're going to be looking at that as we're looking at it. Their presentations were, it's the same thing they were communicating, but they presented it in different writing style because of their educational level and their mood of communication. Yeah, so there are difference in reporting. Just like if you carry five different reporters to report a particular story, you have some, you know, let me not use the word variances and differences, but it's just based on style of reporting. You discover that it's the same story that they're reporting, but their style of presentation will be different. And some of them may take note of some information, some may not take note of some information. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it's their style of presentation. Are we together? And like Bible scholar says, to make us know that these miracles of Jesus were valid and they were truth, is that these writers, they presented in their own way of presentation. Now, if they all came together and said, Abel, let's write Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? Come, let's talk the story. They would have sat down and brought out a storyline and all of them would have written the same way. I get what I'm saying? Their presentation would have been the same presentation. A document that is gotten from, you know, an official, from an office, what happens? The CEO reads the document, whatever. The secretary prepares it. The boss reads it and he does the vetting. At the end of the day, it's one document that comes out. Is that not so? And that is what basically is the heart of both the CEO, the secretary, everybody in the organization. It's one document. So they have all agreed. Are you getting me? And that document is brought out. But to tell us that this was different people documenting at different times, are you getting what I'm saying? With their own different way of presentation, you can see that their accounts were reporting the same miracle, but presentations differed. That authenticates these miracles. If not, it would have been one document that came from the office. And everybody would have reported it the same way. Because it's one document. Amen to Jesus. Now, so this authenticates these miracles. And it's wonderful to see that this miracle was recorded by the four Gospels. That tells you that this miracle, they could never forget it in their life. While they lived, they never forgot it. Are we together? And it's also amazing to note that we are going to be looking at that in our subsequent studies, that this miracle that Jesus did was a replication of a miracle that Elisha did. Are we together? Elisha also multiplied food. Amen to Jesus. That's why people say he had come in the spirit of Elisha. Are you getting what I'm saying? The spirit of Elias. Amen. But there was something about this one, amen, that made it not just a photocopy of the miracle that Elisha did. Are we together? Now, Jesus never photocopied miracles. Jesus raised the dead. Elijah's dead bone raised the dead. Don't forget. And Elijah also raised the dead son of the woman who built a house for him, a place for him to stay anytime he passes in town, passes her house. Amen to Jesus. So raising the dead was an Old Testament miracle. But every time Jesus raised the dead, there was something unique in his raising of the dead to what? Prove that it was not a duplicated miracle. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was not a duplicated miracle. Amen. All right. And so that's what I'm going to be looking at. Amen to Jesus. All right. For each of these writers, each of these apostles to give accounts, all of them gave account of this particular miracle. It speaks volumes about the what? The uniqueness of this what? Miracle. This miracle was very unique. Very what? Unique. Now, the following Bible passages narrate this miracle. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Luke chapter 9, verse 10 to 17. And John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. Now, these are the different. You can see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all give account of this particular miracle. But we're going to look at John's account because that's the particular gospel we are using to follow the sequence of the miracles of Jesus. Now, John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, a lengthy one. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude came unto him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Amen to Jesus. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Basically, he said there is a provision, but he also countered the provision, stating that this provision cannot even do anything. Now you get what I'm saying? Praise God. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, we can see the rendering John as regards this miracle. Praise God forevermore. Now, we discovered that, like we said earlier, that this miracle was rendered by the 4 Gospels because it was very, very unique, a miracle, and they had to take note of this miracle. Praise God forevermore. Now, why was this miracle so amazing that the 4 authors recorded it? You see, I always believe in asking the why question as I study the Bible. And I believe every one of us, you ask the why question when we study the Bible. It actually helps us to get clearer understanding of scriptures. Praise God forevermore. All right. Why was this miracle so amazing to the four authors? Remember, Jesus did not only feed 5,000. He also fed 4,000. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this miracle of 5,000, the four gospels recorded it. Amen to Jesus. Why was this so amazing? The first answer to this question is given by what transpired and happened immediately before this miracle, which gave rise to the miracle. So why was this so amazing? The answer to this question is gotten from what happened before this miracle. And that was what actually gave rise to the miracle. And we see this in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see what happened before this miracle that actually gave rise to this miracle. Now, according to the account of Matthew, we see that in Matthew chapter 14, verse 9 to 13, Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, his cousin, is that not so? And this made him to go to a desert place to be alone, but the people followed him. Let's read Matthew chapter 14, verse 9 to 13. It says, and the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oaths, that's Herod, for the oaths' sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. That's the head of John the Baptist. When his daughter danced and she asked for, he told her, anything you want, even half of my kingdom, let me know, I'll give it to her. And she went to meet her wicked mother to ask for what she should ask for. And the mother said, that guy I've been targeting him, she's asked for his head. The king never meant to, Herod never meant to kill John the Baptist. He just wanted to keep him in the prison and keep him there so that no, he will not be hearing his noise again. Amen to Jesus. But it ended up that way. Praise God forevermore. Says, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Says, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. What a wicked mother and a wicked daughter. Now, a daughter that can carry the head of somebody in a charger and give to her mother, she's only a full replica of the mother. And a mother that can carry a human head like that and is excited about it, she was actually the destroyer of Herod. She was the one who was even destroying him, unknown to Herod. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And it was a painful situation, very painful. But you see, it was just in line with operations of divine order. The ministry of John the Baptist had finished. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, would have not liked him to have, for him to have died like that. But like we all say, how a saint dies is not what matters. But the fulfillment of his destiny is what matters. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Would have loved him to die in that way, but it happened that he died in that way. And it was the wickedness of Herodians and her daughter that brought about that. Amen to Jesus. It says, and his disciples came and took up the body and burnt it and went and told Jesus. Question, what did that Herodias use his head for? Was it an ornament? Was it a monument? Those days in ancient times, the head of your enemy is a proof of victory. So for her, it was a fight. And you can imagine who you're actually fighting with. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody that is not, as it were, a king. Somebody that is not, as it were, an enemy nation. So for John the Baptist, who was a prophet crying in the wilderness, to be a threat to her, it means that he was equal to a nation. He was equal to a kingdom. He was equal to a king. And number two, in battle, in warfare, you don't just behead somebody like that when there was no fight. Are you getting what I'm saying? She didn't go into war with John the Baptist. They just went to see the man and put him inside prison. And then she just took his head. It just showed high level of cowardice, high level of witchcraft and demonic operations. Praise God forevermore. It was painful, you know, but we don't want to go into more, no more into that. I'm just trying to make us understand what Jesus felt, what ran through his mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? What ran through him? Remember that Jesus said, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, that killed thy prophets. You know, it was a normal thing, killing of your prophets. Amen to Jesus. And we need to understand something. What the people do not support, the government cannot go ahead with it. The Bible is speaking about the same Herod. He said, he took James, the brother of Jesus, and he killed him. And he saw that the Jews, they liked it. And so he sees Peter. And when he sees Peter, it's the same strategy. He took John the Baptist, they did not talk. He bearded on the back, did not talk. He said, I say, after all, these people, they don't like, they like it when I kill their prophets. Because somebody who's not your king cannot come and be killing your prophets, and you are just excited. You are okay. If you don't want to kill your prophet, don't kill your prophet. And then because of what they did to John the Baptist, they were fine with it. Nobody complained, nobody murmured, nobody even talked, nobody even did a protest. There was no protest in any house or any kind. He had the mind to go and take James. And he killed James. And nobody talked. In fact, they were happy, and he said, it was like, these people like me to kill their prophets. Oh Jerusalem, that killed their prophet. It's not the king killing the prophet, it's you people killing your prophets. And when he took Peter, they say, it's like we have been dormant. The Bible says, and the church what? The church prayed. Praise God forevermore. The church prayed. At least if the people are not revolting, the church should revolt on their knees. If you cannot go and raise placard, go raise placard on your knees. You can't keep quiet and then allow and think that heaven will get into your matter for you. Are we together? So it began with John the Baptist, and it continued till they had to stop it in time of Peter. Amen. And we can see, we can get a little to understand the pain that Jesus went through. John the Baptist, yes, your ministry is over. But this way you went, we know you were a threat, but this is not the way to even deal with your threats. You should be able to have a more mature way. And why will a woman just seek somebody said as a souvenir? Is it, if you want to go to battle, you should even get a one-on-one combat. Are you getting what I'm saying? And kill the opponent, then behead the opponent, than just using a cowardly way to kill your opponent. These things were just the thoughts running through the mind of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? He says, and the disciples came and took up his body and buried it and went and told Jesus. He says, and Jesus heard of it. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. He went to be alone. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So Jesus heard of what had happened to John the Baptist. Are we together? His cousin and the forerunner of his ministry, and it made him to leave town because he just wanted to go and be alone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Amen. He wanted to be alone because he felt the pain of what had happened to his what? To his cousin and his forerunner. He felt the pain. Remember, even Saul that troubled David, when Saul died in battle and Jonathan, David was mourning. He was crying. How are the mighty falling? How can anointed men just die like that as if there was not anointed? See the kind of words that David was releasing. I mean, Saul that was troubling him. Saul that wanted to kill him. Saul that was taunting him. Saul. Yet he was crying and wailing and mourning for Saul that was troubling him. See, how are the mighty falling? How can men of anointed men just fall like this, like no man? That the death of Saul and Jonathan was actually part of the thing that failed David to go into battle against the enemies. I'm talking about his enemy who died and was crying like that. His friend also died, yes. But he's like crying for Saul first before even Jonathan. Are you getting what I'm saying? What about your cousin who was your forerunner? You can imagine the weight that was in the heart of Jesus. Are we together? So he went to be alone. So as not to discourage people, he went to be apart. But yet, they followed him. Praise God forevermore. So we can see what led to this miracle. Are you getting me? His desire to go and mourn. Are you getting me? Led to what? The people coming after him, following him. All right. Now let's look at the next. If you look at with reference to the account in Luke chapter 9, verse 7 to 11, Jesus said of Herod's desire to meet him after hearing of the great miracle. So you see, first they came to tell him about the death of his cousin. Are you getting what I'm saying? It made him go. While going, he now heard that Herod wanted to meet him because Herod heard about the great miracles he was doing. Amen. Now, this was because some said he was one of the old prophets risen and Elijah appeared. So some people were saying, with these miracles that this guy is doing, he's one of the old prophets that had risen. And others were saying it was Elijah that has reappeared. So Herod was like, who is this old prophet that has risen back from the dead? Who is this Elijah that has reappeared? I want to meet him. And intentions were not right. Anyway, praise God forevermore. You see, from the birth of Jesus, kings have always wanted to meet him. He was a threat to kings from birth. Remember when he was born, Herod told the wise men, he said, please, okay, go and worship the king. So when you finish, come back and tell me where he is so that I can go and worship him. Kings have always wanted to meet with Jesus. But Jesus is never the one that wants to meet with kings. You see, we need to understand something. As children of God, as followers of the Lord Jesus, as those who are the heirs of God and joint heirs in Christ, we are not to seek to meet with kings. Kings are actually meant to seek to meet with us. At birth, Jesus had not started ministry. He had not started anything. A king was seeking to meet with him. When he started ministry, a king was seeking to meet with him again. In a situation where Christians begin to seek to meet with kings, then it means that we have lost something somewhere. We have misunderstood who we are and who we are from. Praise God forevermore. The Bible says, every man, king, book of Proverbs says, every man seeks the king's favor. He says, but the judgment comes from the hand of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every man seeks the king's favor, but as children of God, we are not to seek the king's favor. Why? Because Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, swear thou a man diligent in his business, for he shall stand before kings and not me, men. Even David understood it. He just remained diligent in his business, and the king sent for him. He didn't look for the king. The king looked for him. In this generation of Christianity, where we are looking for kings, instead of kings looking for us, we have lost the thing that we had from the beginning. Because according to the original plan, kings look for us at birth. From new birth, kings are meant to start looking for us. Are we together? If we actually reveal the life that God Christ has given to us. Now, so look at Luke chapter 9, verse 7 to 11. It says, now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed. Hey, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. So it was like, hey, they said John has come back. My only threat has come back. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ah, how did John come back? I thought we beheaded him. How can you behead John and he will come back? So Herod was perplexed. He was afraid. Hey, there's problem. Let me see this John that has come back. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. It says, and of same that Elias had appeared. So he was hearing a mixed up, are we together? Mixed up information. Someone was saying, John has resurrected. Herod, did you sure you killed John? He said, I beheaded him. We took his head in the charger. I saw the head in my two. I said, are you sure? It was a headless body. He said, are you sure? Hey, because the guy has resurrected. And some others say Elias had appeared. They say, but Elias has died a long time ago. Say the guy has come back. So who is this Elias? Say, do you know him, Elias? Elias was the one who killed the 400 prophets of what? That means there's trouble in the land. That guy troubled the whole, he held the whole land to ransom. Hey, he made sure that there was no rain for 3 days. And I said, you see, mean that kind of person existed. He said, yes. And he has come back. We have to look for this person. The earlier, the better. All right. It says, and of others, that one of the old prophets was risen again. Which of the old prophets? We don't know. But they just made him understand. I see, all the old prophets were not people that that were easy to go with. They were dangerous people. So one of them has come back. Oh, this reincarnation. Oh. Wow. And Herod said, John have I beheaded. I beheaded him. But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. It says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him and received him and spake unto them the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Now look at something. First, we discover that it was because of the news of his cousin John that he had to go to a private place. Now, alongside, why that news was going on? Why he had received that news and the whole news was still trying to digest that news and get, over that loss. Another news sprang out, and the news was, John, you just killed yesterday, has come back home. Ah, you mean John has come? I beheaded him. He has come back. Okay, if you don't say, if you say it's not John, there's Elijah. Say, who's Elijah? Elijah killed 450 prophets of Baal. He said, what? Yeah. He said, okay, this one is not Elijah. It's another prophet. I know all our prophets were very heavy men. They were dead. So another upset, and Herod was perplexed. And he was like, I need to see my soul. While Jesus is dealing with the death of his cousin, now he also has to deal with the emotional surges that come from what? Herod's desire to meet him, because Herod heard that what? That he is a prophet that came back, that incarnated. He is Elias that reincarnated, and he's John the Baptist that reincarnated. Now, so first, let's deal with the death of John the Baptist. That's enough to deal with, is that not so? Now, let's add this one. Let's add this one to what he has been dealing with. The death of John the Baptist is enough for you to take a break. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, but while we are still dealing with John the Baptist, we now add this one, this pressure. King is looking for you. He's looking for you. These two problems are more than enough to deal with. Are you getting what I'm saying? And at least with these two problems on your chest, you should take a break from ministry. Is that not so? And Jesus wanted to go and have a time alone. Yet, people started coming to meet him. Amen to Jesus. Now, let's look at the account of Mark. According to the account of Mark, in Mark 6, verse 31, people were coming to Jesus so much so that he and his disciples could not rest or eat. Mark 6, verse 31, it says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Coming and going. It's not just only they were coming. They were coming and going. And they couldn't even have enough. So Jesus had to come and rest. He couldn't even have time to rest, let alone time to eat. And this is the same person that is dealing with what? The death of his cousin. Are you getting what I'm saying? The same person dealing with what? The news that Herod is looking for him. And that same person, he has to minister to people that he doesn't even have enough time to rest or to eat. Now, what will you explain the kind of situations that Jesus was going through at this kind of point in time? How can you explain it? Are you getting what I'm saying? How can some of us, we cry pressure, especially most of us in ministry, say, man, I'm having a burnout, the pressure is so much, the church is on my shoulder, the church is on my neck, my head is spinning, my leg is turning, my eyes are spinning, my nose is bending. We just talk, but let me tell you, you don't understand this kind of pressure. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't understand this kind of pressure. Now, when they just troll us online, we come out and we start hitting the people back. Just a little small trolling. And Jesus told us that they will troll us. He told us. And now, instead of us to be happy when they troll us, we come back and we start defending ourselves. Start hitting back. Start raising lawsuits. I'm not against you raising lawsuits. I'm not against you hitting back. But I'm telling you that even that thing you are calling pressure is not even pressure. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some Christians, some ministers of the gospel, once they throw them small, they literally take vacation from the pulpit, right? Because when they come on the pulpit, they don't preach the word of God. They start fighting the enemy back. They first preach the trollers. And that's what the trollers are looking for. They're looking for recognition. They're looking for attention. And you give them the attention for the first 15 minutes of your message. So you're taking vacation from the pulpit for 15 minutes. 15 minutes vacation. And that 15 minutes that you took, you don't know how many souls have gone to hell because of that 15 minutes. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Christians, that applies to all of us. Amen. That applies to all of us. We think that we have so much pressure, so we can just take a vacation from the Lord Jesus for a while. Just one small pressure. We don't go to church again. Say, why you not go to church? See, you don't understand what I'm going through. I need time to sort out myself. You want to sort out yourself without the presence of God? No problem. You are good to go. Some others, we take a vacation from prayers and from reading the Bible. Take vacation from having time with the Lord because we say the pressures are too much. And so we cannot just do ministry. Ministry is not about meeting the needs of people. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's about meeting the needs of God. And that's why ministry is first between you and God, ministering to God before God, you can minister to the people. So ministering to God is fellowship, spending time in a place of fellowship with God. And because of one pressure, we can no longer fellowship. One miniature pressure, we can no longer fellowship. And then we take vacation from fellowship for a period of time just because of one little thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? And we don't even meet the needs of God's people either. We can't preach any longer. Praise God forevermore. I was telling this. I was preaching on Sunday, sorry, and I made them understand of how my younger sister passed on. And when she passed on, I was crying in the funeral, but I had to come and preach on Sunday, and I still preached. Praise God forevermore. My elder brother passed on also. I sat and mourned, and I still preached. Amen. It's not because we are supermen. Are you understand what I'm saying? We are not supermen in any way. We are not supermen. We are not supermen. Praise God. We are not supermen. But it's just an understanding that Jesus had that he's giving it to us. He had enough reasons to take a vacation from ministry. At least for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks to mourn his cousin effectively. And to be able to process the information that his cousin has passed on. And also to be able to process the information of Herod looking for him. And he needed 2 weeks minimum to process this whole information and get himself back. Are you getting what I'm saying? Which is not wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? But Jesus refused to get himself back. He refused to process the information. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. You know, I remember when my younger sister passed on and I had to see preach. And then one of my mentees in church, her mother passed on. And I went, I comforted her, consoled her. The church we went, we comforted her, we consoled her. Amen to Jesus. And after then, I traveled and I told her to preach. And when I told her to preach, somebody that was related to her, somebody that was close to her, not actually related, was complaining that why would I tell her to preach when her mother passed on, when she's mourning? Why would I tell her to preach? And she told the person, that in fact, my telling her to preach is even helping her now. That if she doesn't preach now, the morning will kill her. And when I was about telling her to preach, I told her, the Bible says, for you have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of your infirmity, of your infirmities. But at every time he was tempted, he was without sin. And I told her, you have not a pastor who cannot be touched by the feelings of your what? Of your pains. Remember, when my sister passed on, I still preached. All of you saw me in the funeral. You saw me crying. I still preach. I say, now your mother has passed on, you will also preach. She was laughing when I told her. And she knew that what I was saying was just scripture line, it was the truth. And she was laughing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. So it's not actually because we are supermen, but it's an understanding. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Is that not so? That is my food. That is what I eat. So I don't have time to process any information that will give me a vacation from eating this meat. That's also what he was saying. And you may say, but that is too hard. But that is what he did. Amen. And some of us have done it also. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. But what will make a man act in this way? Amen to Jesus. What will make somebody act in this way? That you will not follow the normal operations of life. What will make somebody act in this way? Amen. As recorded by John chapter 6 verse 1, all of this made Jesus what? Go to the mountain to be alone. All these pressures joined together. Are you getting me? They made him go to the mountain to be alone. And even when he went to be alone, they will not say allow him be alone. They will not even allow him take a little nap, let alone eat some food. Despite Jesus' need to be alone and rest, the multitude still came to meet him, and he did not drive them away. He had every right, humanly speaking, to drive them away. Is that not so? But he didn't drive them away. Due to all that Jesus was going through emotionally and psychologically, because he felt all we feel while he was on earth as God-man, it would have been very right for him to what? Take a break and politely tell the people to go. Is that not so? So that he could do what? Have some time alone to process the thoughts and to recuperate himself emotionally, psychologically, and mentally. Are you getting what I'm saying? But what did he do? He did not do this. He had a right to do it, but he did not do it. Amen to Jesus. Rather than take a break, what did Jesus do? He healed the sick. And he went on a marathon teaching spree. Rather than take a break, he was rather healing the sick. And he was going on a marathon teaching spree. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, this is a very important information. See, because when we look at this miracle, I've always read this miracle before. You get what I'm saying? I've read the miracle, but I've never studied it in this light. Amen. Jesus fed the 5,000. And we all say the reason why the bread was multiplied was because he blessed the bread. That is a right answer. Are you getting what I'm saying? But there was something that gave birth to the blessing of the bread and the fishes. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is what we are looking at today. What gave birth to this? Because some of us have carried bread, loaves, and fishes, and we have blessed them and broken them, yet they did not multiply. Is that not so? We have broken them. We have blessed them. We have blessed them. We have thanked the Lord. We have thanked the Lord like Jesus did. We have thanked the Lord. We have blessed them. We have broken them. Yet they did not multiply. So the mystery, the secret behind the thanking, blessing, and breaking for multiplication is what we are looking at today. If this one is not in place, my brothers, my sisters in the Lord Jesus, we will carry breads. We will thank God. We will bless them. We will break them. Yet they will not multiply. And that's what a lot of us are experiencing in the Christian faith today. But I pray that at the end of this study, we will understand perfectly. And when we understand perfectly, when we take a step again to thank God, lift up the breads and fishes, bless them, and break them, they will multiply in the name of Jesus. So what made Jesus heal the sick and teach the people rather than attend to himself? Are you getting what I'm saying? What made him do this rather than attend to himself? He rather chose to be healing the sick and teaching the people. What made him do that? It was this reason for healing the sick and teaching the people that gave rise to what? The bread that was blessed, and the fish that was blessed and broken, and it multiplied. This reason is what gave rise to. What made him do that? Amen. The answer to this question is seen in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. When the Holy Ghost showed me this today, I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Hey! Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, this particular miracle is not what you can get with John alone. Are you getting me? That's why most of the time we'll not be able to get this miracle clear because we have just looked at it for maybe only John, are you getting me? Or Matthew or Mark or Luke. We have to look at it from all the authors. When we blend their reports together, accounts together, we can get this the weight in this miracle. Are we together? Praise God. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. What made him teach them? Compassion. So what made Jesus, rather than attend to himself emotionally and psychologically, rather than do that, he started teaching and healing. What made him do that? Compassion. Compassion made him do that. My brothers, my sisters, compassion is what gives birth to this, what gave birth to this miracle. It is not the thanksgiving that we've always learned that it was thanksgiving. I get what I'm saying. It's not the thanksgiving that gave birth to the miracle. It's not the blessing of the bread and the fish that gave birth to the miracle. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not even the breaking of the bread and the fish. We'll get into all these processes. So, are you getting what I'm saying? It's not telling them to sit down in 50s and 100s that give birth to the miracle. It's not even and the Bible said, and there was grass in that place. There was a reason why I said there was grass there, and we'll get to that point. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not all these things that made the miracle happen. What gave birth to this miracle was what? Compassion. Compassion made him remove the focus from himself and put it on the people. Hey! Compassion gave birth to this miracle. And it was an act of great sacrifice on the part of Jesus. Because he was meant to be taking care of himself. But he rather sought to take care of the people. His compassion that makes you think of taking care of others at the expense of yourself. And this makes us understand that compassion is the source of sacrifice. Compassion is the mother of sacrifice. The reason why a lot of people cannot be sacrificial is because they are not compassionate. That's all. If you are not compassionate, they will preach the message on sacrifice 1,001 times. You will not understand Jack. Why? Because it takes compassion to bet sacrifice. Why do I have a lot of Christians today who cannot sacrifice nothing? Why? Because they are not compassionate. They are not compassionate. Selfishness makes you lose compassion. Me, myself, and I. My family, my brothers, my sisters. It's all about me. It's all about me. It kills compassion in a man. Are we together? And without compassion, we cannot go anywhere in our walk with the Lord. Are we together? So without compassion, there can be no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there can be no great miracles. Yeah. There can be no miracles without sacrifice. There can be no miracles. I remember when I answered the call of the Lord to start pioneering the work of the ministry. And I began to see miracles, diverse miracles in ministry. And one day I was with a young chap and I was just telling him of all the testimonies of the miracles that were happening. And he told me, he said, Pastor Chimmy, should I tell you something? The simple reason why you are seeing these testimonies is because you obeyed the Lord to pioneer the ministry. It was one of the greatest sacrifices I made in my life. It's the greatest sacrifice. People don't know. They don't understand. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not like we didn't have a future. It's not like we didn't have plans. It's not like we didn't have what we're doing. Are you getting me? It's not like we cannot still do some things. Praise God forevermore. Every good preacher is a good marketer. Don't forget that. Yeah. Every good speaker is a good marketer. Every eloquent person is a good presenter. Are you getting me? But we sacrificed all these things on the altar of God's compassion in us. And the reason for the miracles is compassion. So without compassion, there can be no sacrifice. You wonder why you cannot be sacrificial. Are you getting what I'm saying? You wonder you cannot be sacrificial. You cannot sacrifice for anything, for anybody. Because you lack compassion. We may see some Christians sometimes, the way they are so zero on compassion. You'll be asking, that this is the devil's incarnate. Are we together? And the same people will be saying, there is no power in the church again. There is no power. Where are the miracles of old? Sir, the miracles of old are not going to voice me. Your compassion drove them away. Where are the miracles of old? Take us to the old time. We don't need the old time religion. We need the old time compassion. Simple. Bring that same passion. My brother, the same miracles will duplicate themselves in a higher dimension. Let's bring the compassion of Christ back to the church. We will not pray for miracles, sir. Miracles will be happening. Peter was walking down the beautiful gate. And I think Peter and who was the person that was with him? And the man that was there, that was lame, he saw the man. And the man asked him for alms. And Peter, out of compassion, said what? Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have something, I will give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. If it's in our generation of Christians today, they will say, silver and gold have I not. Compassion have I not. Nothing have I not. Boss, I'm on my way to pray. That generation of Christians we have today, silver and gold, they won't have. Compassion, they won't have. So where will we see the miraculous? Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody met me one day and I knew he was speaking under the spirit of divination. It's happened to me times and again. And he saw me. I was wearing a jean trouser and carrying my backpack and I was just walking. And he told me, just like last year, he stopped me and said, my son, he said, as I saw you, God told me you are a dedicated child of God. You are a man of God. It has happened at least more than once. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's happened time and again. And I know the spirits. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And he told me that. And then he told me, but I came from so place. I just need transfer to go there and to go to so place. I said, okay. I said, I can discern. I know when divination is coming. And I know when begging is entering. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I said, all right, no problem. I have something to give you. Say, I'm sick. I said, okay, I have something to give you. Say, what do you have? I said, I have prayer to give you. I want to pray for you as regards this sickness. It's not sickness. You say, you want to go to hospital. You want to go to hospital. You want to go to the hospital. All right. And so let me pray for you. And I prayed for him. Why? Because I have something. I have compassion. I may not have the money to give you, but I have compassion to do what? To give you. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the secret to every miracle in the body of Christ is compassion. It's compassion. It's compassion. I'm telling you, it's compassion. Look at everyone who performed, who prayed in the miraculous. They are compassionate people. You lack compassion, no miracle for you. Miracle is not because you can pray 7 hours. Some people who pray 10 hours, they lack compassion. They are prayer warriors without compassion. It's not because you can bind and cast them. If you lack compassion, you can. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, and I have no what? No charity. I'm like a what? A clashing cymbal. If you like, speak all the tongues, but there is no compassion, you are making noise. You are what? And that's what we have in the church today. Oh yeah, let us go out for village evangelism and go and reach out to the people that are there and save soul. Pastor, you see, I actually have an appointment tomorrow. Pastor, I'm supposed to be at work. And pastor, excuses are coming out. No compassion. No compassion. No compassion. We don't really have compassion for people any longer. God, so long as you give me the car I'm looking for, I'm good to go. People can go to hell. It doesn't matter. Lord, that house. Give me that house. Others can go to hell. It doesn't matter. Let us pray for salvation of soul. That's when we become very spiritually santos. Pray for that need of yours. My Father, the prayer volume will increase. We lack compassion. Pray for revival of nations. That enemy that is troubling you, command him to die. Where did we get this from? Where did we get it from? Come, let's go all out for the Lord. Pastor, see, I have a small fever. Small fever. Pastor, you see, I'm expecting a visitor. And Pastor, excuses will come up. Excuses will come up. But we are doing prophetic deliverance, miracle turnaround service. Hey! They forget the appointment they have. Appointment can wait. How did we get here? That is the reason why we are not seeing miracles in the body of Christ. No compassion. May the Lord help us. The same compassion made Jesus pray for the forgiveness of those who crucified him on the cross, rather than pray for their condemnation. The same compassion, though. Are you getting what I'm saying? Luke 23, verse 34, it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lot." While they were parting his raiment and casting lot, he looked at them and said, "Father, forgive these people. If it's in our generation, God, Father, now is it my cloth they are parting like this? Lord, do you know this is..." The Bible says it was a seamless gown. It was one of the designers, it was a designer's gown there. Seamless gown. "Lord, this gown, remember, it was so person that sowed it as a seed into my life. God, is it my gown? They are tearing like this. My father. Kill them now. As if you need a gown. As if while you're on the cross. You need a gown. Compassion makes you see how useless things are and how useful human life is. Because on the cross, you no longer see the wickedness of men. You see the usefulness of their life to the kingdom. So you rather we pray for their souls to be saved than for their souls to be destroyed. That's the reason why most of us, we hate the cross preaching. Jesus said, "Anyone who wants to follow me should do what? Should pick up his cross." We don't preach that. We don't preach it. Because when we pick up the cross, compassion will well up in us. We will see men as people that are to be saved, not people that are to be destroyed. Compassion has died. And that's why we see that the church is not making impact today. Souls are perishing. Souls are going to hell. And all we care for is our cozy life. Having all the things we look for. We chase all the things we want to chase all through life. And when we are done chasing the things, we discover that we never caught them. But at the end of the day still, we're never able to what? Release the power of God in our environment. Miracles are not meant for special folks in the body of Christ. Miracles are meant for these signs shall follow them that believe. That believe. And for you to believe, compassion must be welled up in you. What about Shataka, Natasha? It's compassion that brings about intercession. Why will you be interceding for somebody you do not know? You know, the Lord began to help me understand something, and I understood that when I pray, Bible says my spirit prayer and my understanding is what? Is futile. Praise God forevermore. And I know not how to pray as I ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for me, groanings that cannot be uttered. And when we pray, he says, let us pray for this, so, and this. I pray in English for 1 minute or 2 minutes. And the next thing, I pray in tongues. When I pray in the language of the Spirit, what is happening? That the Holy Spirit is making what? Intercession for me to the Father. And that intercession is making at that moment, I don't know what he's interceding for. Are you getting what I'm saying? He may be interceding for some souls that are about to go to hell in Kuwait, while I'm in Ghana. Are you getting me? And where intercession will save them. Are we together? And that's why I believe Christians should pray without ceasing in the language of the Spirit. Why? Because you don't know who you are interceding for. And it's compassion that will give you a never-ending desire to pray in tongues. Not for your needs. Are you getting me? But for what? The needs of men that have to be met, because God needs them to be met. Amen to Jesus. Now, what is this compassion we're talking about? What is compassion? Compassion is from the Greek word splagnitzomai. It's a long one. You can go and look for it. And Theia defines it as to be moved as to one's bowels. In other words, to be moved with compassion. That is to say, to have compassion. Why? Because in those times, the bowels ought to be the seat of love and pity. The bowels are meant to be what? The seat of love and pity. Actually, you see that the woman carries the baby in her bowel. Is that not so? That is meant to be the seat of love. That's where she carries, that's where her love resides. That's how when the woman is sacrificing for her child. Why? She will say, I carried him for 9 months. She sacrificed for her child because of that love she nurtured and knitted for 9 months. That pity she nurtured and knitted for 9 months. So it propels her to keep sacrificing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. So the bowels were at the seat of what? Love and what? Pity. Praise God forevermore. Now, it also means to have the bowels yearn. That is what? To have the bowels feel sympathy. To have the bowels to feel what? Pity. How it means to be compassionate. Amen. So compassion is to be moved by the seat of love and pity. To be moved by the bowels. See, the bowel will be moving you. Not the head moving you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not the leg moving you. The bowels. When the bowels moves you, love is moving you. Says to be moved by the seat of love and pity, which is referred to as what? The bowels. That is another word, the belly. And this is where the rivers of living water, who is the person of the Holy Spirit, flows from. Thus, compassion is to be moved, kale kotosha, by the Holy Spirit through our bowels, which is our human spirits. To act in love and pity for others. Hey. So, our bowel is our human spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? And compassion is when, and inside our human spirit is the love and the pity we need for humanity. It's when the Holy Spirit moves, shatekede, moves love and pity in our human spirit. And it moves us to act in love. And in pity. When you see a child of God who is not acting in compassion, question his salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it means that his human spirit is still depraved. Because every born again human spirit is a seat, is a bowel. Ashana Kato is a seat of what? Love and pity. And that is where the Holy Spirit flows from. Mark 6:38-39 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his bowel, the seat of compassion, are you getting what I'm saying, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the rivers of living water is the Holy Spirit. And it flows out through the human spirit. And the human spirit of the born-again child of God is the seat of what? Love and pity. Is the belly. When the Bible talks about the belly, when geography talks about the belly of the earth, it talks about the center of the earth, the core. Are you getting what I'm saying? When we use the word heart there, when we use the word belly, we're talking about center, the center. So the belly of the human is what? Is the spirit. Is also the heart of the human. And that's where the Holy Spirit flows from. And for the child of God, compassion is resident there. If you are not compassionate, let's go and find out whether you are born again at first. If you are born again and you are not compassionate, we have to go and do some overhauling on you. The Holy Spirit, you have to be overhauled. Are we together? This means that when the Holy Spirit flows from our human spirit, it's not only to speak in tongues. Because for us, when the Holy Spirit is flowing, when we're speaking in tongues, Holy Spirit, flow, Spirit, out of your bellies, shall flow rivers of the flow, Holy Spirit. No, I agree, it's part of the flow. I get what I'm saying? It's not to cry, oh, Holy Spirit, it's not to cry, that is part of the flow. I'm not saying it's not part of the flow. It's not to shout, No. I'm not saying it's not part of the flow, but see, that's not the rest of the flow. It's not falling, no. Falling is good. You can fall under the anointing. It's part of the flow, but that's not the main. That's not the flow. That's not the flow, sir. As some of us, we fall in church, and when we come out of church, we come out as people that I don't know whether we are born again or not. No compassion. We just fell in church, and we come out without compassion. fall in the presence and come out. I don't understand how that happens. It's not singing. It's not jumping, no. It's not dancing. All those things are fine. But that is not the proof of what? The flow of the Holy Spirit from the human spirit. And the church has misunderstood all these things to be the flow of the Holy Spirit from the human spirit. So when we want to see the Holy Spirit flow, we come, let the Holy Spirit flow. We pray in tongues. Hey, we begin to shake, we begin to fall, we begin to sing, we begin to dance. The Holy Spirit is flowing, the Holy Spirit is flowing. When we finish all those gymnastics, we come out and no compassion. Sir, we just did the exercise. Body exercise that profited what? Little. That's why we're having problems. Are we together? Amen. All these things are not the flow of the Holy Spirit from the human spirit. It is what? For us to love and have pity on others and act. That's when we have what? That's when the Holy Spirit has flown out from our bellies. Out of my bellies shall flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. It's not to speak in tongues. No, my brother, compassion, that is out of your bellies. That song you to manifest when you are happy, when you are compassionate, when you are, it's paining you to see people going to hell. You are feeling the pain to see people in sickness. You are feeling the pain to see humanity languishing. Above all, you are in pain when you see people going to hell. Are we together? When we act in love and pity, fueled by the move of the Holy Spirit through our human spirit, great miracles are born. That's just the secret. When the Holy Spirit flows through our human spirit and releases the love of God in us, you don't need to pray for miracles. Are you getting what I'm saying? Miracles just pop like popcorn. That's the secret of Jesus. That's the secret, sir. This particular miracle is igniting something in us. That's the secret of Jesus. And if all of us can just use this secret as born again children of God, we'll be seeing miracles popping like popcorns in our families everywhere we are. Amen. Compassion removes the focus from oneself and puts it on the need to be met in other people. This need must be strictly spiritual as seen by Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? It must be a spiritual need. Some of us focus on physical needs. Are you getting me? And as people believe in, I'm not against the physical things that have to be done. But see, if the physical things that are done and not because of a spiritual need that was met. My brother, we have done social responsibility that had no spiritual value and no eternal value, no eternal reward. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Why do I say this? Jesus focused on the spiritual need. We think that I came to feed 5,000. I always tell people, they say, ah, pastor, give to the people. Pastor, give to the member. But I say, before people, I say, I should feed you people. Before Jesus fed these people, if he preached to them. Are you getting me? He taught them before he fed them physical food. Now, my brother, if you want me to feed you physical food, allow me feed you spiritually first. If you allow me to feed you spiritually, I won't feed you physically. They were tired. He preached to them. They were tired. They almost fainted. So, yeah, give them food. Amen to Jesus. I'm following Jesus, so don't get angry with me. Praise God forevermore. Jesus saw that they were as sheep having no shepherd. That's what the Bible says. He saw them as sheep that were having no what? Shepherd. This meant lack of spiritual leadership and guidance, which would have led to their what? Destruction. That was what welled up compassion. He needed to rest. He needed a me time. But when he saw lack of spiritual guidance, lack of spiritual leadership, the thing made him forget himself. And power came up from inside. And he began to minister to them. You see, whenever I'm to minister, I don't know where strength comes from. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Compassion is the missing link among saints today. That is why we do not experience great miracles as we ought to. Yeah. Are we together? Say, but pastor, I cannot teach. But my brother, you can do something to win souls. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can do something to disciple souls. You can do something. Do it. When you do that, you see miracles pop out. I pray today that we will yearn for compassion. Amen. Yearn for compassion. Amen. And may that be our prayer. Lord, set my heart on fire for you.
Now is your moment of salvation. If you are yet to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, we request that you say this prayer along with many others now. Say these words: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, and ask that you forgive my sins. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross, died for my sins, and rose again in the third day. Today, I invite you into my life today. Wash me by your blood, make me your own, and till eternity be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
For your love gift of any amount to Grace Life Kami Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 033-154-551-2013. SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. To give in CDs. Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. You can send to account number 033-254-551-2017. To give in Naira, you can send to Ecobank Nigeria. Account number 554-102-0592. Also, for further inquiries, you can call us on +233-54-594-7132. Or, send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Today, remain ever blessed.
We believe you were blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Beloved, remain connected to Grace Life Komi Podcast. Jesus is Lord.